seriously popular.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Dom.
Which of the following statements is true? I'm backed by popular demand due to readers' requests, or... I'm back because your little friend has more holidays than Trivago.
I think I could say a bit of both, but I would possibly say the second one.
Yes, I think you're right. And you know, I mean, did he ever actually bring you that Toblerone back? Because he's never brought me anything back, anywhere.
No.
And do you know what? He's never even said thank you to me.
That's no surprise. I've not had a gift either.
No. Anyway, good morning. It's all kicking off preview show, and what a blockbuster weekend of football we've got to look forward to, Chris. It's the time of the season when everything seems important, everything seems dramatic, and this weekend's going to be no different.
Yeah, I mean, from here on in, I mean, blimey, we've got one hell of a title race on, haven't we? And you know, I think all you journalists and all us pundits, are looking at the games left for Arsenal, Liverpool, and Manchester City, and trying to make head or tail out of them. Who's going to drop points? Where are they going to drop points? And basically, I think we're all pretty much stuffed, and none of us have a clue. But it's so difficult to call.
No, it's brilliant. I think we've wanted this for a long, long time, for three teams to actually be hammer and tongs with nine games to go. Normally, someone, when there has been three teams, somebody's usually started to fall away by now. But I don't think this is going to happen. And even with the intensity of fixtures have come, I don't see these three breaking the stride. Mm.
But Liverpool favourites for you now? They have the advantage. I mean, we're recording this on a Thursday morning, and of course Liverpool, Sheffield United, which second v bottom now, that should be a bit of a gimme for Liverpool. I don't think anybody sees them slipping up there. At the start of the season I thought Manchester City, but that does give Liverpool a tiny bit of leeway, doesn't it?
Yeah, I still think Manchester City are favourites. I'm not going to. The last time we were together, I blinded you with maths, and it was. I'm not going to go there again with talking about third favourites in a three horse race. But no, I think Liverpool are second favourites now. I was with Jurgen Klopp on Wednesday at his pretty much press conference, and he's just got the sort of. I would say he's got the eye of the tiger at the minute. He's just absolutely focused on the next task in hand.
Is that the most focused you've seen Klopp then in his time at Liverpool? Where would you rank it?
He looks similar to 2 years ago. I'll never forget 2 years ago when they were going for the quadruple, and the faith that he had in the team was such that one night he took his dog for a walk around Formby, where he lives. And there's a very nice pub there called Freshfield. Stephen Gerrard was in there that night having a lovely evening. And Stevie was in having a quick shandy, as you do before the kids go to bed. Next thing, Jürgen walks past and he's got his dog with him. and they see each other, hug each other, and Jürgen sits down and has a pint with him. And this was while he was like, he had a title decider, I think, coming up, or it was either the Champions League final or there was a title decider, but he was just so relaxed that he was because of the faith that he had in his team. And yesterday, you can see he's got that sort of confidence back about that. He knows they're going to deliver for him. I just think he's got them in a really, really good place.
So he knows they're going to deliver. Sheffield United, as I say, Thursday evening, and then the game at the weekend. What is it about Manchester United where they seem to up their game hundredfold against Liverpool? I mean, they perform much better. I mean, it's ridiculous. If I was a Manchester United fan, I'd actually be quite angry about that. We know that there's a great rivalry, but where are these performances in the other games?
Well, do you know what's strange now with this game? It's almost like it's flipped completely on its head from when I was a kid growing up watching them, because Liverpool, I remember United going for the league in 1992 when Leeds beat them. And Liverpool were the team that stopped them. They beat them 2-0 on a Sunday afternoon at Anfield. Liverpool had been absolutely dreadful that season, but they produced this performance from absolutely nowhere. And then there were a couple of more in the 1990s when United were striding away with things, and then all of a sudden they'd come to Anfield. Liverpool had raised themselves. The crowd would go absolutely insane, and United couldn't cope with it. And I think Liverpool will be kind of walking into that kind of arena on Sunday again, because United fans just aren't going to tolerate Liverpool coming there and turn their team over, are they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. From Manchester United's perspective, I suppose that United fans are thinking, well, they've got Chelsea on Thursday night, but they can see Tottenham in their sights. I don't think it's possible that they can reel Tottenham or Aston Villa in. I think it's been, a disappointing season for them as a whole. But in many respects, they don't deserve to rein Tottenham and Villa in with their performance levels, as far as I can see.
They haven't at any stage sort of suggested to you that the Manchester United, or that they're a good team, that they're going to bloom into a good team. There's been moments, there's been snapshots, like this, Garnacho's goal against Everton at Goodison. There's been a few little flashes in the pan here and there, but I mean, what I heard you and Ian talking about this on Monday about the amount of shots they've conceded since over the course of the last few months. Everybody can run through them. Everybody can run through them. And Liverpool, I know the FA Cup game last month was chaotic and sort of Wild West, and United obviously came out on top of it. But I just don't see that being, I don't see it being as frenzied as that game. Do you?
No, I don't. I actually think Liverpool will win and win comfortably. I think that they're by far the superior team, and a bit like you. I mean, you watch Manchester United go to Brentford and produce a performance after they get the win in the FA Cup against Liverpool, where you think, right, here we go. Ten Hag's going to have a strong end to the season, and then that performance at Brentford, so insipid, so poor. They can't keep producing in just the odd moment this season. And that's why, I think we all think that it's going to be the end for Erik ten Hag, unless he somehow produces some miracle performances at the end of the season. And maybe if he beats Liverpool and beats him well, then that would raise his stock. But I don't see it happening.
Can I just ask you this? I'm just thinking about this. Obviously, you were blessed to play in some amazing fixtures. You had a incredible career in the Premier League and doing things that everybody who grew up playing football would have liked to have done. When you go as a neutral to Manchester United, Liverpool, whether it's at Old Trafford or Anfield, what do you feel around that game? Do you sense that it's still the biggest game in?
I've actually never been in a stadium to watch the game. But no, I'm like,
really?
never been to watch Manchester United, Liverpool. Been to watch Norwich, Ipswich, a bigger derby, yeah,
which is
in
comparable.
Many respects.
Yes, of course it is.
But no, I mean,
would you like to go?
Well, yeah, if you get us a ticket. Yeah, I mean, Ian never offers me a ticket, then that'd be, I know you're well connected. But no, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody understands the intensity and dare I say it, that, you know, the hatred going into this game. There are two teams who've had a great history, who don't like each other much. And, you know, it is interesting this season that Manchester United from sort of where we just haven't seen it happening, have got results against a superior Liverpool team. Is it going to be third time lucky for Liverpool this season? I think it will be.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I really want to touch on Everton against Burnley this weekend, because I think that has developed huge importance over what's happened in the last few weeks. And, you know, you were talking very positively about Burnley on Monday. But Everton, I'm absolutely bewildered by the situation that they're in, how that team has broken a record for a club not winning in the Premier League, for a club record not winning in the Premier League of 13 matches is absolutely staggering.
Agree with all that. And there's been so much happened this season. And of course, a lot of those performances, you know, it does fall on Sean Dyche whether he likes it or not. But having said all that, with what has gone on this season at Everton, the turbulence which there has been on and off the field, you could say, that they're still going to be all right. They still will stay in the Premier League, as far as I can see. And the goal on the equalising goal against Newcastle, Calvert-Lewin, you know, we've spoken about him many times this season, about not quite finding his form and you know, and what have you. That felt pretty big. And all things being equal, the main thing from Everton's perspective is staying in the Premier League. And of course, it's going to be a big test for them at the weekend against a Burnley team who all season, right, and Vincent Kompany has been saying, we still believe, I still have belief in this team. There is belief in this team. And I was thinking, you know, after some of the runs they've been on, that can't be possible. But they have shown in the last four games that there is something there, and I never gave them a chance of staying up after their early season form. I thought some of the football was fantasy football, but you look at them now, and I suppose what would the last four results have given them? That would have given them sort of a glimmer of hope and that belief. They still probably have to win four games to stay up. They've only won four all season, I think I'm right in saying. And that's a tall order. But if they win at Everton, blimey, they'd have given themselves a real sniff.
Yeah, I think they'll fancy the chances. I really do think they'll fancy the chances on Saturday. And I know you said this falls on Sean Dyche ultimately, and it probably does. But I've just sort of seen signs in the last couple of months, and I've heard things that just suggests to me that there's a pattern developing, the same that happened under Frank, the same that happened under Rafa, the same that happened under Sam Allardyce and Ronald Koeman, even to Carlo Ancelotti for a possibility. Those players can't be trusted at times. There's a lot of those players can't be trusted. They've looked for excuses. They've looked for to apportion blame elsewhere when things have started to go wrong. Like, you know, it's always the manager's fault. It was, you know, it was Frank's fault for this. It was Rafa's fault for that. And again, as I said, I've heard whispers around the place about them not being happy with things and whatever. Well, when are they actually going to be happy with someone? Isn't it about time that they sort of, there's more than enough talent in that dressing room, not to have gone 13 matches without winning. I mean, I think that runs an absolute disgrace to the fans that go everywhere around the country.
Mm, yeah.
Absolute joke.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to disagree with anything you say there. I think it literally is about getting to the stage where they can start a season and they start with very little stress. And, you know, with this points deduction always hanging over them, that was always going to make this season really difficult. You know, it needs to be a clean slate start again. And Dyche, you know, deserves to be at the helm, because I don't know many managers who would have, you know, coped and coped so well in terms of his leadership qualities. It has been a problem, performances on the pitch and results. And, you know, that record isn't one that he would want. But all things being equal, at the start of this season, with what they've had to part with, staying in the Premier League is the be-all and end-all.
Yeah. I'll be clear, by the way, I'm not saying it's the squad as a whole, because I know some of the characters within that squad, and they will be absolutely aghast with what's gone on. But as you said, I'm suspicious of a couple, and they owe their fans a performance on Saturday, and they really do need to deliver.
Yeah, I don't want to chuck you under the bus. You probably should name names, but shall we move on?
Yeah, we'll move on. Yeah, you like, you know, everything was going so nicely. Why would you chuck me under the bus when I'm so nice to you?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Never mind. Chucking me under the bus. We'll chuck you under the tractor. Ipswich against Norwich. What a game this weekend!
My eldest
son on bank holiday Monday was sat in front of the TV with an Easter egg, and next thing I heard him shout, "They've done it! They've done it!" And he was watching Ipswich against Southampton. He watches anything, and he said, amazing comeback.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? I mean, that comeback has typified Ipswich for you know, a large part of the season. That they've dug in, they have this belief. They're a confident team. They're not a team who you know, sit back and counter. Kieran McKenna has, you know, to think that they came up out of League One, and they are in their position, top of the Championship, with what, six games or whatever it is to go. That's remarkable. And what's great about this fixture is that Norwich are, you've got Ipswich at top. They're in one hell of a race with Leeds and Leicester, I think 2 points between the top three. Norwich are in sixth, and from anywhere from sixth at the down to Hull in tenth, they've got a possibility of getting into that playoff place. So it's enormous for both. I know Coventry have got a game in hand on Norwich, who are in seventh. And, you know, it could be so decisive. And it could be a hammer blow for, you know, whichever team doesn't win, with regards to how I see the game going. I don't know whether you saw the Norwich-Leicester game on Monday, where Norwich were really, really poor against Leicester. They're a set-piece team at this moment in time. Scored a brilliant set-piece, a bit like the John Stones goal for Manchester City. Cleverly worked corner. Leicester dominated the game and deservedly won 3-1, and Norwich really struggled to get up the pitch, and that was a problem. And I just wonder how this game will pan out. I was at the reverse fixture at Portman Road in December, 2-2 draw, and Norwich sort of derailed Ipswich, albeit it was only a draw, and Ipswich went on a bit of a dodgy run. But they found their feet again. And, I mean, it's absolutely enormous. Very, very difficult to call. But I just wonder, Norwich, two centre-halves, don't have a great deal of pace, Ben Gibson and Shane Duffy. And when you're at home, the onus is on you to take the game to the opposition. But that could, if Norwich are that brave, and I think they have to be because that's what the supporters will demand, then, you know, Ipswich will fancy their chances.
What's it like to play in? What's the occasion? Because I'd love to sample that.
It's not though.
You know, you know, you say that the derbies are different wherever you go around the country. I think because people's mentality or people's approach to life around the country is different, and you get different atmospheres when you go into stadiums. I'd love to. Why are you looking at me like that? Like I've said,
are you suggesting that people from East Anglia have a certain personality? Are we all strange?
If you want to go down that road, you can say it. I haven't said that. What I'm saying is I would. It's just people might look at it and say, "Oh, it's a championship game between two clubs. They're a long way from on the other side of the country." But I would absolutely
From your side of the country would say that. You're not half digging yourself a hole. It's just like any other competitive derby. I wasn't born in Norwich. I was born in Nottingham. But
I moved
to Norwich at a young age. That game, Norwich Ipswich, was the be all and end all. It really was great. Great rivalry. Albeit there is a fair old distance between Norwich and Ipswich, 45 miles. That's a long way. But that doesn't detract from the way that both sets of fans of both clubs feel about each other. And this is so big. I think Ipswich's record has been rancid in recent times. I don't think they've won in 13. They haven't won since 2009. Think about that. But this is the opportunity to come to Carrow Road, Kieran McKenna's team, not only go about cementing or trying to, or nearly cementing automatic promotion, but to actually give Norwich a boot in the balls and try and get them out of the playoff places. And for Norwich City, it's exactly the opposite. They've had the Indian sign over Ipswich. Imagine winning, and knocking Ipswich into third place over the weekend. That would be a perfect weekend.
You see the little smile on your face, just sort of breaking there. It's just about the thought of that. Listen, if I get you a ticket for Liverpool Man United, will you get me a ticket for that for Norwich and Ipswich and Rangers v Celtic? I've always wanted to go to Rangers v Celtic.
I'll get you one Celtic v Rangers.
Yes, yeah. You know what I mean.
I don't know, albeit they are letting away fans back in next season, Celtic Rangers, which is a massive step in the right direction because of it's a game which is broadcast around the world. It's one of the most fiercely competitive derbies in the world, and I think that it was such a bad look for there to be no away fans in either stadium. Fans make matches, and it's a step in the right direction now that both clubs have allowing it's a 5% or I think it's 2,500 in next season at Ibrox, similar at Celtic Park. But it is a step in the right direction. I still can't wait to get back to the days like when I played and we used to go to Ibrox and you'd have 6,000 or 7,000 fans in behind one of the goals there, and the same at Celtic Park. It really made the atmosphere special. But of course, at the weekend, it'll be as you were.
Yeah, well, I am just quickly. Very good friend of mine took his son to the game over the Christmas period at Celtic Park, which Celtic won, and he said it was a bucket list thing for him to do. He had an amazing day, he said, but the difference with no away fans in there was stark. So there was everything you want a derby to be missed that little last ingredient. I've covered an Old Firm game. I've done a couple of games at Hampden Park in cup finals. The one then Steven Gerrard lost, was manager in Celtic, won the Cup 1-0, League Cup final in December 2019. And, you know, it was the kind of atmosphere that made the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. But just before we go on, Ali McCoyster said some comments about, we start with Ali McCoyster's comments about this weekend. You've read them closely.
Yeah, I'm not into politics. I don't know whether you are, Dom, too much, but there's this new hate crime law which has been brought into to Scotland, and I've read Ali's comments, which he said on the radio.
Yeah, just for anyone who's not listening, there's a headline on Mail Online that says Ali McCoy says police will need to arrest him and 48,000 Rangers fans if they are to enforce Scotland's crazy new hate crime law ahead of their game against rival Celtic on Sunday. That's the headline that's on Mail Online at the moment.
Yeah, and that's where he left himself wide open, you know, saying that he, along with 48,000, will be committing a breach of the bill in that fixture. Look, I know Ali well. I've worked with Ali a lot. I suspect that his comments may have well been tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, if they weren't, then got to say, you know, they were pretty reckless, irresponsible comments, you know, daft, I think his choice of words, you know, were clumsy. I know he's not going to the game. He's come out now and said that he's, you know, he's not going to the game, which, you know, is may have sort of not got him out of it, but his way of sort of getting out of the words which he used. But no, that's, you know, he's going to have to address this one. I thought they were slightly odd, his comments, in truth. But, you know, for the game itself, I'm going to be there. I cannot wait. I haven't got a clue. You know that. Most people know that. But Philip Clement has, you know, has done so well with this Rangers team, turning a team round at the start of the season who had very little belief into a team now really where they are, you know, slight favourites. They have the game in hand on Celtic, you know, top of the league by a point. But this game is enormous. I mean, it's absolutely enormous because if Rangers win, then they will have a real advantage, albeit they've still got to go to Celtic Park still, but they will, you know, they will have it firmly in their own hands if they win the game. So from Celtic's perspective, it's one that they really can't lose. But it's very, very difficult to call. There are players who are coming back from injury for Celtic. Rio Hatate, who played last weekend, who I think is, you know, when he's fit,
very good player.
Yeah, and very good player, arguably, you know, one of the best midfielders in Scotland, if not the best midfielder in Scotland when he's, you know, fully fit. Callum McGregor may be back. There's a doubt over him for Celtic. Rangers had Seymour back for them at the weekend, who had a 10-minute cameo. So it's about who's fit. You know, it's going to be a game where I think Rangers, being Ibrox, will go for Celtic, and Celtic will have to be brave playing out from the back.
Yeah. Just before we finish, I think it is Rangers-Celtic is in the top three, maybe top five, maybe top three most pressurised games in world football. Because of the intensity of the crowd, the feeling in the city, the scrutiny from the media, how well known it is around the world, I think it must be absolutely incredible to experience, to play in and whatnot. But you'll sort me out a ticket.
If Celtic keep winning, then I stand a far greater chance of sorting out a ticket. It's one of those games where I didn't know what hit me when I went up north of the border, and I played in, you know, a lot of big games south of the border. You know, mentioned the Old Farm Derby, going up and playing in the Old Firm, you know, that was big. But just the intensity in the city and what it means to do. I mean, you live in a great footballing city, you know, Liverpool, you've got that derby, and, you know, then you've got Liverpool, Manchester United, and then you had the head-to-head Liverpool, Manchester City. I mean, whether you call them all derby games, I don't know. I've lost track. But it's what it means for one side of the city, and the fans are so passionate. And that's why, you know, I love it, and it goes around the world, and you know, both clubs are really well supported. So Sunday will be. I mean, what is really interesting is you literally just cannot call it. It could be anything, and I love that about this fixture this time around.
Okay, Chris. Well, as always, it's been a pleasure spending time with you. Your little friend will be back on Monday, minus his Toblerones. You can, in the meantime, please press the subscribe button where you get this, where you listen to your podcast, whether it's on Apple or Spotify. It means the world to us, our audience. I'm Dominic King. He's Chris Sutton. It's all kicking off.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.